A welcome to all as we gather for worship this morning at St. Luke's. Happy Mother's Day to those of you who are mothers or have been caretakers or in any other way know that circumstance. So a happy day to you. A few things to announce. One is that the women are meeting this week, I understand. Is that correct? Yeah, I think that much is right. However, the Episcopal ladies, that program isn't going to happen this weekend. So that announcement in there about a noon meeting on Thursday with the Episcopal women, that will be rescheduled for some future time. The program they planned is not available. And the spring cleanup, or the Thursday Bible study is also canceled this week because I'll be gone. Spring cleanup next Saturday from 9 to 12. There have been sign-up opportunities for that. But if you're available Saturday forenoon, just come and help with that. And the council meeting, which ordinarily would have been today, is moved to next week again because of Mother's Day. They didn't want to take anybody's attention away from that today. And I've mentioned I'll be gone. Marlis and I are leaving today after the two services, early afternoon, driving to Boulder. I've got some appointments tomorrow. We fly to California Tuesday and back Wednesday for a consultation. Possible that may be where I'll have my treatment going forward. So, but I'll be back here then Thursday sometime. We'll be here Friday. But for much of this week, I'm not available, just to let you know that. We begin our worship with confession and forgiveness as printed in the worship. Oh, no, we're going to take a moment before we do that to look at a little of the music. Because the communion hymn is one that I think is a new one to many of you. It is number 469 in the red hymnal. It's Susan Greel and Marty Haugen who conspired on a number of really good hymns. And this is one. By your hand you feed your people, food of angels, heaven's bread. For these gifts we did not labor, by your grace have we been fed. Christ's own body, blessed and broken, cup o'erflowing, light outpoured, given as a living token of your world redeemed, restored. Let's listen to it once, and then we'll sing it. Try singing it. Send us now with faith and courage to the hungry, lost, bereaved. In our living and our dying, we become what we receive, Christ's own body. We are the body of Christ, and so that has a beautiful message in it. Now we begin our worship with confession and forgiveness. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed.
by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
And we sing. Let us go down to the banquet, to the feast of the universe. The table set and the place is waiting. Come everyone with your gifts to share. I will rise in the early morning. The community's waiting for me. With the spring in my step, I'm walking with my friends and my family. Let us go now to the banquet, to the feast of the universe. The table's set and the place is waiting. Come everyone with your gifts to share. God invites all the poor and hungry to the banquet of justice and good, where the harvest will not be hoarded, so that no one will lack for food. Let us go now to the banquet, to the feast of the universe. The table's set and the place is waiting. Come everyone with your gifts to share. May we build such a place among us, where all people are equal in love. God has called us to work together and to share everything we have. Let us go now to the banquet, to the feast of the universe. The table's set and the place is waiting. Come everyone with your gifts to share. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast, a victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia.
sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn.
Which exceed all we can desire, through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
God speaks to us in Scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 10th chapter of Acts. While Peter shares the good news of Jesus with a Gentile soldier in his family, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Recognizing that the Spirit works inclusively in the lives of both Jews and Gentiles, Peter commands that these Gentiles also be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read Psalm 98 responsively. Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory.
O Lord, you have made known your victory. You have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations.
You remember your steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God.
Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing.
Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of the song.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout with joy before the King, the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell therein.
Let the rivers clap their hands, and let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord, who comes to judge the earth.
The Lord will judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with equity. The second reading is from the 5th chapter of 1 John. God's children believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and love God by keeping God's commandments. Thus the world is conquered not through military might, but through love and through faith. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves a parent loves a child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and that his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand to greet the gospel.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. These readings today are significant. They are significant words for all the baptized. They're part of what the Gospel of John presents to us as a long farewell discourse on the last night that Jesus met with his disciples before he was arrested. The Gospel of John, you know, doesn't have the Last Supper. Instead of that, it has the foot washing and then this long discourse, the things that Jesus told the disciples. You know, at least 50 years ago, I learned a Bible school song. I'll bet you did too. Love, love, love. Love, love, love. That's what it's all about. Because God loves us. We love each other. Father, mother, sister, brother. Everybody sing and shout. Because that's what it's all about. It's about love, love, love. It's about love, love. Yeah, I see a lot of you nodding. The measure of love is seen in Christ's love for us. A love which originated, we are told, in the relationship between Father and Son, and which Christ desires be extended through us. There's more to be said today, so let's look at the reading. If we really stop to think about it, there's some scandalous stuff in these readings today. The first lesson says that God really doesn't have much of a set of standards. And the gospel says God has a really troubling lack of concern for rules of behavior. What I mean by that is that God seems not to care about the things that keep dividing people, the things that keep setting us apart from each other. That's the message of the first reading today. We have a hard time, I think, understanding just how shocking this was in the early church, because Peter had gone to the home of this Roman officer, not only a Gentile, but a Roman additionally, but the divide between Jew and Gentile was so extremely deep. Now Peter, who is one of Jesus' disciples, finds himself preaching to Gentiles, and then the Holy Spirit comes on them. And suddenly Peter says, bingo, can we withhold the water for baptizing them? If they've received the Spirit, can't they also be baptized? Can't they become part of this Jesus movement? Peter gets it. It's a sign that Gentiles are to be received into the church without being forced to obey the law, without having to match up with all the stuff that was part of the Jewish culture of the day. So Peter baptizes them. And then they invite Peter to stay, and he does. Now, as this gets talked about in the early church, there's a couple of things in the book of Acts about the kind of offense this is, and the kind of shock, and the kind of decisions that the church has to make. Because more shocking than the baptism, I mean, that would have been enough, but more shocking is that Peter is staying there, is living with them for a few days, is even eating with them. And later, if we read in the book of Acts, we find that that's the thing that's brought up. What are you doing? Eating with Gentiles. So, you know, and Peter is just kind of catching what he had been given in this dream or this vision. You remember, he saw this thing, it says like a sheet, a basket, I don't know what, coming down, and in it were all kind of animals. And a voice said, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, no. A lot of these are unclean. You know, I'd never do that. And then the voice says, what I have cleansed, don't you call unclean. And then he realizes, now that's really a setup for this case of him being present with these Gentiles. And that somehow God has cleansed beyond the matter of circumcision or dietary rules and all the stuff that they thought was so important. Leaders of the church were disturbed by this astounding. And yet we are thankful, friends, because that's how we got in. Huh? This really is a story of how we got into the church. Without this kind of example in the early church, never would have happened. The church would have stayed a little sect or an offshoot of Judaism, and that would have been it. Easy for us in the church to talk about how God loves everybody, you know. As you ask any kid in Sunday school, who's God love? God loves everybody, you know. But it can hit us differently when we come face to face with specific people. I think we all know that. Oops, sounds good until this comes up. Because our histories and our comfort zones vary. You know, think of the political world, for example. Almost everybody's teeth get set on edge at certain people. It might be Barack Obama, it might be Donald Trump. It might be Bernie Sanders, it might be Mitch McConnell. Whoever, there are those people, you know, that we just can't quite abide the way they see things, the way they see the world. So we might well ask, we have to accept everybody. And Charlie Brown says, I love humanity. It's people I can't stand. You know, that's kind of the way it is, isn't it? So must the church kind of let everybody in? And I'm afraid so. If this experience of Peter has anything to say to us, you know, think about the times in the history of the church where we just kind of had it wrong. During the time of slavery in this country, much of the church was wrong. Because we accepted the fact that slavery is okay because it gets mentioned in the Bible. And we've had problems in the lifetime of some of us with left-handedness. I know at least one woman who was forced to switch and use her right hand, and they tied her left hand behind her so she wouldn't use the wrong hand. And for that matter, on Mother's Day, it's worth mentioning that there's a whole lot of human history in which women were disregarded. And so it's just kind of a problem. In the world of the last decades, you know, it's been the matter of sexuality has been one of those. And then it's like, oops, now we learn that there are chromosomes and there are brain waves and there are studies that have been done. And that this isn't something people make bad choices or evil choices. It's who they are. So what about that? What about people who are not heterosexual? What if they're our own flesh and blood? And I keep hearing about sisters and brothers and sons and daughters and cousins, so on, nieces and nephews. There, one Lutheran friend of mine said, a pastor who last I knew was down in New Mexico, he said, if that's a problem for us, maybe we ought to stop baptizing infants because some of them are going to wind up being gay. Maybe we ought to wait until they're, what, 18 or 21 or 35 or whatever, so we can know that they're straight. But now we've learned all that. And in response, I heard a number of years ago somebody raised the question to me, but what if we get too many homosexuals, the word they used, too many of them in the church? You know what I said? I can't remember ever having too many of anybody in the church. We kind of keep finding ways to very often to not include people. But whether, even if you're talking about, you know, 70 and 80 year old folks like us, there's not too many of us here, you know? There's probably more people, well, whatever. But what made you or me the judge of who gets in or who stays out? Or in what capacity God can use people? I wish we were inviting enough so that people just wanted to bang our doors down to get in here, you know? But it seems that we're not. But the Bible reminds us that God calls a wide variety of characters to enter the body of Christ. A wide variety. Just look at who's here today. God's standards are not very high because I got in. If I could make it, you know? Okay. In a way, the gospel reading today sings the same song. Here Jesus commands his followers to love one another. In fact, Jesus turns that whole business of commandments on its head. Think about this. We have the Ten Commandments. We all learned them somewhere along the way. The pious Pharisees of Jesus' day had hundreds of commandments. In the other gospels, Jesus is asked, what's the most important commandment? And you remember what he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But today in the Gospel of John, there's only one commandment. This is my commandment. Singular, that you love one another. But that makes us a little uncomfortable, I think, because what about the Ten Commandments? Man, when I was in confirmation in Sunday school, we had to learn all kinds of stuff about this is what this commandment means, this and this and this and this, and what things should we classify as being stealing, and what are the exceptions to when it's okay to kill, because even though it says you shall not kill, and on it goes, you know? And now Jesus says, think of it this way, all the other commandments are commentary on this, to love one another. When I was learning the catechism, I learned the explanation to every commandment started this way. We are to fear and love God so that. It would work just as well for almost all of them. It would say, we are to so love our neighbor that we do this. Because all of them are illustrations, if you will, of how love for neighbor gets expressed in families and in communities and in congregations. And St. Paul does the same thing in two places. He says one commandment. He says all the commandments are summed up in this one, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's in Romans and it's in Galatians. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. But here Jesus points to the ultimate measure because he says his love is to be the model for ours. And so one person I read says, how many commandments do we have? And he said, we have one. We have one. Love one another as I have loved you. Friends, what if that were kind of the model that we use all the time in church council or in women's organization or whatever kind of context we put it? That's the answer to the question. What would Jesus do? Jesus would love the friend, the other, the stranger, the foreigner, the geek, with a powerful, unfailing love. And Jesus pushes the boundaries of love to incredible dimensions. Love your enemies so that you may be sons and daughters of God in heaven. Because our task is to recognize that even the people that rub us wrong, or even people who have terrible parts of their life, are dearly loved of God. Every person loved of God. People we can't stand loved of God. Martin Luther King Jr. said, I'm so glad God didn't command us to like people. Because he said, there are a lot of people I can't like. But God said, love one another. And love is a matter of the will and of behavior. And that, he said, he was able to do. for us to be whole. We need to recognize not only those with us here, but those around us in the world as sisters and brothers. Our enemies need to be seen as in some way, shape, or form members of the family. Because the church exists to share the wonder of Christ's love. And that's why Jesus gives this command, because we were made to love. It's about expanding Christian service, not Christian influence. About loving as Christ has loved us. You are loved, friends. You are loved so that you may extend love. Chosen that you may be ambassadors of the one who has chosen you. Your preciousness, your uniqueness, your wonderfulness are bestowed by the one who loves you with an everlasting love. As friends of Jesus, we don't have to take care of everything. Just try to love God and love one another and every neighbor in all things with all the strength and faith that God has given. Remember, it's all about love. Amen. Together we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Alive in the risen Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. Loving God, you call us to be your fruit-bearing church. Strengthen the bonds among all Christian churches. Today we pray for the Moravian Church, giving thanks for the life and witness of Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf, renewer of the church and hymn writer. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creating God, the earth praises you. The seas roar and the hills sing for joy. Fill the earth with your love, so that by their song all creatures of land and sea and sky, burrowing and soaring, may call us to join with them in praise. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Faithful Savior, you conquer the world not with weapons, but with undying love. Plant your word in the hearts of the nation's leaders and give them your spirit, so that the peoples of the world may live in peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Caring healer, you forget no one and accompany the lonely. Be present with all those who are sick or suffering and grieving. Today we remember especially the Dickerson family. Provide for those needing homes or medical care, and point us towards life-changing responses to these needs in our own community. Be with the dying, especially those known to us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, as a mother comforts her child, you comfort us. Bless mothers and mothering people in our lives. Comfort those who miss their mothers, mothers who grieve, those who grieve because they cannot be mothers, and those who have never known a loving mother. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through our call committee, through all who work for the future of our ministry here. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through those who seek candidates for us and through the candidates as well. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gentle Redeemer, all who die in you abide in your presence forever. We remember with thanksgiving those who shared your love throughout their lives. Keep us united with them in your lasting love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In the hope of new life in Christ, we raise our prayers to you, trusting in your never-ending goodness and mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We share the word of peace with one another. At this time, when the church is accustomed to receiving the offering, I would remind you that the means of continuing that through the mail or online or by placing offerings in the plates that are at the doors, those remain for us, and we are grateful to God for you and to you for your generosity in that the ministry of the church continues to be supported. It's such a blessing to be able to be together again in person in worship. But even during the time that was restricted, your faithfulness showed through, and we are grateful. You can remain seated for the offertory and then stand for the prayer following.
Let the vineyards be fruitful, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from this each every soul, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and dreams of all, unite them with the prayers we offer. Grace our table with your presence, and give us a foretaste of the feast to come.
Let us pray. Please stand as we do. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
With you, ye holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full. In the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. And Linda, would you serve? The body of Christ given for you.
The blood of Christ.
The body of Christ given for you. 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 Please begin the post-communion prayer. Someone lead that prayer.
Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Thanks for your time.
No, he's not. He's
6:15.